Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. God is good, and all the time. It's nice to see you. God bless you for coming. I really mean that sincerely. God bless you. I was thinking of you today and prayed for you. And I hope your days passed nicely and quietly. We call this hump day, am I right? So we've gotten over it by the grace of God. And the God who brought us to the hump will take us on the downslope. Can you say amen? Nothing is impossible with God. One of the problems with us, we don't believe that. There are people who say, I am too bad, God can't save me. I've done too many wicked things, he cannot forgive me. But that's not the case. To doubt God is virtually to call him a liar. Let me say it again. To doubt God is to call him a liar. 1 John 5 verse 10. Believe the word of God. These words, let there be light, and there was light. As powerful as they are, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That is as powerful as let there be light, and there was light. You can trust the word of God. You know, Jesus said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now he comments on each one. Of sin, because they believe not in me. We don't believe God, some of us. We come to church, we sing, we support the church, we hold offices. Do we really believe in God? That he can do for us what in our estimation is impossible. Can the Lord take a hardened criminal and make him a saint? The answer is yes. That is God's specialty. Anyway, let me not preach two sermons. Nice to see you. I said that. I say it again. I thank God for this privilege he's given me to speak for him. And I will try my best to speak as effectively as I can. And the number one way to do that is to give you, thus saith the Lord, and keep self out of the way. Is there anyone present tonight? You're with us for the first time. May I see your hand? First time. Any visitor? First time. Is there a hand? Where? Oh, nice to see you. God bless you. Thank you very much for coming. I mean it when I say God bless you. Is there anyone with us who is not a Seventh-day Adventist? You're with us for the first time. You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You are here for the first time. All right. I believe there's some guests online, I'm quite sure. And I welcome our online visitors and guests and friends. May the Lord bless you wherever you are. I hope that you had a good day as we had here in the green city of Greenville, Tennessee. That name is very appropriate when I was here, whenever it was. And I said to myself, Greenville is an excellent name for this place. It is so green. That's probably how the Garden of Eden looked, green. You know, God placed Adam in a garden. He placed, not in a city. The first murderer in the Bible built the first city. And most FBI crime statistics still come from cities. I'm not telling you move tonight. I'm simply saying God put Adam in a garden and not in a city. So God bless Greenville. All right. Our subject for this evening, the enemy within. What did I say? The enemy within. As always, let's preserve reverence. And you have been doing that. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much. It makes life easier for the preacher when God's people are reverent. And for those of you online, I know you're at home somewhere. It's comfortable, relaxed. But don't forget, we're worshiping God. And the surroundings do not change the holiness of God. So let's preserve reverence for Him as we would if we were in the courtroom, sitting in the presence of an earthly judge. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. My words cannot save you. The words of God will change your life 180 degrees. And so keep in mind Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And as surely as God lives, I want to speak God's words. And favor number three, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, first part of that verse. Come now, let us do what? Reason together, saith the Lord. I thank God that He's a reasonable God. I really do. I really thank God for being reasonable. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, we come into your presence as we came last night and the night before. We thank you today, God, for preserving us during this day, a day in which all over the world people died, passed away. You preserved us. Father, you preserved us for your glory and for your purpose. You have not spared our lives to give us more time to sin. You spared us to give us another opportunity to choose Christ. And to choose Christ is to choose righteousness. If we've sinned against you, forgive us, particularly me, as the one with the burden to present the words of life. Cleanse my heart, I pray, please, dear God. Fill me to overflowing with the humility of Jesus Christ, that my concern from now until the sermon ends and beyond will be your glory and your glory alone. Father, give me the words and give me the Spirit. Give to your people who are listening comprehension. Bless them all, including those watching online. If anyone has COVID-19, Father, heal that person completely, dear God, whether the person is a believer or not, because you make your sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Please, God, pour out a special blessing on all little children who may be listening wherever they are around this globe. Bless them and let them know somehow that even as children, they can be faithful to you. Now speak through me, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. The enemy within, Genesis chapter 6, reading from verse 1. It is 17 after 7. I'll release you by 8 o'clock. And I've been trying to keep my word. I hope you observe that. So if on some night the Spirit pushes me beyond 8, I hope you'll allow that and take it quietly. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? 1. Genesis. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. If you have it, you can read it with me. If you don't want to, that's okay. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth at that time, and also when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now listen to verse 5 carefully. You may read it with me. And God saw. Stop. God doesn't function based on hearsay or rumors or gossip. And God saw. He examined. He evaluated. He assessed and he concluded. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There are some people, all they think of is how to commit crimes. How to run a con game on somebody. That's all they think of. How to get by dishonestly. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was sorry that he had made man. And as I frequently say, how wicked does a person have to be to cause God to regret having given that person life? I look back on my life today, I hope I did nothing to cause God to regret letting me live today. Let our lives day by day cause God to be delighted that he allowed us to live. Can you say amen? So when he looked at Abraham, he said, for I know him that he will command his household and his children after him. I know him that he can boast as he boasted to Satan about Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Let us so live that God can look the devil in the eye and brag on us. Not have the devil look God in the eye and say, look. Every imagination. God made a decision to deal with this sinful world. Let's go to verse 13 of Genesis 6. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the world is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. God gives Noah the dimensions. Now skip to verse 17. Read with me, what does that say? And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth, finish the verse, shall die. I am destroying everything on the earth. Was Noah on the earth? Yes. What did God have to do? Get him off the earth. Are you with me? He had to get him off the earth because he said, I'll destroy everything on earth. Now let's go to chapter 7. Let's see how God did that. Our subject, the enemy within. Genesis 7, reading from verse 17. The Bible says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. Finish that verse. And it was lift up above the earth. Now, God lifted Noah and his family. In a certain sense, he took them out of the earth. Verse 18, and the waters prevailed and increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. As the waters increased, the ark arose higher and higher. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. Verse 20, and all the high hills, verse 19, all the high hills that were under the heavens were covered 15 cubits upward, verse 20. Did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. In other words, the highest mountain was covered by about 22 feet of water. That's how high the flood waters reached. And Noah and his family were right on top. While those on the earth, man and beast, were destroyed. God, in a certain sense, took Noah off the earth, destroyed it, then brought him back. Go to verse 9 of Genesis 1. Verse 9 of Genesis 1, our subject, the enemy within. Are you there? And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them what? Come on. Be fruitful. Come on. Genesis 9 from verse 1. Do you have that? What did I say? Genesis 1? No, Genesis 9. My fault as usual. Genesis 9. Reading from verse 1. Do you have that now? Read with me. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them what? Be fruitful, come on, and multiply and replenish the earth. Stop. What does that remind you of? God speaking to Adam and Eve. So in a certain sense, God is starting all over again. In a certain sense, Noah is another Adam. He's starting all over. And he tells him to be fruitful. In verse 2, he tells him he will restrain the animals. In 3 and 4, he tells him what to eat and what not to eat. Instructions he gave Adam in the garden. He's starting all over. But I want you to observe something. Go to verse 20 of chapter 8. Our subject, the enemy within. Genesis 8. Did I say that clearly? 8. Verse 20. Are you there? Let me pray. Father, as I continue, speak through me. Restrain me through the work of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, what? I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Keep reading. For the imagination of man, corn, is evil from his youth. Now, here is the, not so shocking, but a little unpleasant. When God brought them back down from the surface, from the way up there, the top of the flood, above the mountain, they found a destroyed world. But they came back down, still having the carnal nature. Are you with me? Who do you think built the Tower of Babel? The descendants of Noah. So he brought them back, but they still had the carnal nature within them. He took them out of the world, but they still have the carnal. Yes, they were faithful to God. He described them as righteous, but they had the carnal nature. So they came down, and after a few generations, people went off, against God, built the Tower of Babel. Had to confuse their languages to ruin their plans. The builder of that tower was Nimrod. Are you following me? His kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh in the land of Shinar. Who is God's enemy in the Bible? The earthly agent of the devil, Babylon. In the old and in the new. And as early as Genesis 10, verse 8, verse 10, we have the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar, descendants of Noah. Why? Because they came down with the same nature. Let's go to Genesis 19. The enemy within. 7:27. We know the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible describes Lot as a righteous man. God will never destroy a righteous person. As a matter of fact, go to verse 8, chapter 18 quickly. Let's go to 18, chapter 18. We read from verse 23. This is Abraham speaking to God. Abraham is pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham has a nephew and relatives in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy all the place? And not save the city for the righteous that are therein? 50 righteous, says Abraham, surely should lead you to have compassion. Verse 25. That be far from thee, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. You know, we have this expression, the furthest thing from my mind. Abraham is saying, the furthest thing from your mind should be to destroy righteous people with wicked people. You don't do that. Then verse 25 ends with this word, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If you don't have a close relationship with God, don't talk to Him like that. Are you with me? Don't do it. Or like Moses, turn from this evil thing you plan to do to your people, Exodus 32. Don't do that if you're not close with God. Because you may cease to exist. Are you following me? All right. Abraham knew God. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God does not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Now we go back to 19. Two angels come to Sodom. Lot makes a meal for them. And they spend the night with his house. And they tell him why they've come. Let's go to verse 15 of Genesis 19. When the morning did what? When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying what? Take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou do what? Be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Get out, because we have come to destroy not only Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, and Bela. Those are the cities of the plains. In Jude chapter 1 verse 7, you need to go there, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. It was Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, but the Bible simply says Sodom and Gomorrah, they represent all the others. And the angel said, don't be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Verse 16, and while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. I say amen for merciful God. God can't force you, but God's love is so persistent and determined and stubborn. God is stubborn in his determination to save you. The angels grabbed them. It surely shows us God is not willing to destroy anyone. Took them out. 17. And it came to pass, when they brought him forth abroad, that they said, escape for thy life. Look, neither stayed thou in all the plain. Escape to this mountain, lest thou be consumed. The angel said, move, run, run, run. Because we're about to destroy these cities. And God does not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So move, we're removing you from the place of destruction. Verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast multiplied thy mercy which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Lot said, wait a minute, I don't want to go to the mountain, I want to go to the city. Listen to me, God is good. Because God said, okay. God said, go to the mountain. The angels are speaking for God. Lot said, no. I want to go to that city. Listen to what the angel said, verse 21. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I can do nothing. Finish that verse. Till thou become to the meaning, I cannot destroy while you're standing here. You want to go to the city? Go, but go quickly. Of course, from verse 30 we know he eventually went to the mountains. You see, God's original plan is always better than our educated suggestions we like to give him. His plan for us is always best. And so Lot ultimately went to the mountain where God originally told him to go. But I want you to observe verse 22, the angel said, I can do nothing. Until you move. Because God will not destroy a righteous person. Now, righteous people suffer. That's not destruction. But we know what happened to Lot and his two daughters. Are you with me? God took Lot out of Sodom. But Lot still had the carnal nature. So did his daughters. I don't want to go into the sordid details. His daughters made him drunk. And somehow or another, they became pregnant by their father. This righteous man, with his two daughters with him, they were removed from the city, but that sinful nature was still with them. What's our subject? Hear me within. Let's go to Matthew 24. Let's see another removal from the place of destruction. Matthew 24. We read 14, 15, and 16. You have Matthew 7:33. We're in good time. Father in heaven, as I continue to speak, Father, please give me more of your Spirit because I need it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 14, and this of Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, you know, to all nations for witness, and then shall the end come. As a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the next verse we're familiar with because we're students of Daniel and Revelation. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Read verse 16 for me. Then let them that beware in Judea flee where? To the mountain. In other words, get out. Why? Destruction will come on. The destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman armies between 66 and 70, mainly in 70 under Titus, was one of the most horrendous events in ancient history. The suffering, the brutality. I mean the hunger, the starvation, women bargaining, I'll eat your baby today and then you eat mine tomorrow, literally. And this was God's city. But they rejected him, would never obey him. God warned them hundreds of years. You read Deuteronomy chapter 28. He prophesies of this. Hundreds of years before. So we see the mercy of God and we see that God has a limit beyond which he does not go. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, meaning the Roman armies, and Luke makes that clear in Luke 21, 20 and 21. Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain. Get out. We know from history, under Gallus, he was close to conquering the people. For some strange reason, he withdrew. Titus came soon after, besieged the city, destroyed it with tremendous. But in the time when Gallus withdrew, the Christians left. Went most of the city called Pella. The record tells us, not one Christian died of Jerusalem. They were divinely removed. Not physically, they obeyed God. They left. So God took them out of Jerusalem and the city was destroyed. Jesus had told them, not one stone would be upon another. And those stones were huge. Each stone were in tons. But after many generations, the Christian church morphed into the Roman church. Part of it, most of it. Paganism came into the church. The Sabbath was discarded, replaced with Sunday, because Sunday is the day of resurrection, and Sabbath was seen as a day of fasting and suffering, so people moved to Sunday, a day of feasting, even though the Bible never called for it. And so the descendants of those who escaped to Pella, who obeyed God and left the city, they were the ones who drifted and drifted and drifted. Because even though their ancestors left in obedience to God, they still had with them what? The flesh, the carnal nature. Then we must ask ourselves, the major concern isn't getting out of a place. The major concern is, get something out of me. I didn't say that clearly. Let me try again. The problem wasn't Sodom, the major problem. The problem has to be the nature. Because the devil has never been able to force anyone to sin. By the way, God has never been able to force anyone to obey. I say again, the problem is within. That's why Christ, he changes what? The heart, not the city. I hope you're with me. Now, we looked at the destruction of the world in the days of Noah, and God removed Noah. He came back down with his family, and from them came those who built the Tower of Babel. We looked at Sodom, the destruction of that city and the surrounding cities. God removed Lot. Sin continued. We looked at the destruction of Jerusalem. God told the believers, the Christians, leave, and they left. The generations slipped into paganism. There is another destruction coming. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And it will not be by the flood. 2 Peter chapter 3, we read from verse 10. You have that? Read with me. But the day of the Lord will come how? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Now that's the heavens. Now, finish the verse. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Now, when God destroyed Noah's world, did the heavens burn up? No. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, did the heaven burn? No. When Jerusalem was destroyed, did the heavens burn? No. This destruction is on a massive scale. It includes earth and heaven. I have never seen the heavens on fire. Listen to what the Bible says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the elements in the atmosphere. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, this time, there will be no second chance. Are you following me? In the days of Noah, there was another chance. Came back down, be fruitful, multiply. In the days of Lot, there was another chance. The Christians left Telah, life continued. This time, when destruction comes, it is the absolute end of this civilization called the sinful world. How will we survive that? Jesus Christ. No one can argue with that. True. Absolutely true. But this time, God isn't plucking us and taking us on the top of Mount Everest. Because Everest will burn. He doesn't put us in the pastor's office. That will burn. Are you with me? He doesn't put us at a GC office. That will burn. He takes something out of us. Let me explain what I mean. There's a Bible verse that's the very foundation stone of Adventist theology. Take a guess. Daniel 8:14. The Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1. The scripture which above all other had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent movement was the declaration unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. All our present truth flows from that, including the health message. This began in 1844, October 22. A cleansing of God's sanctuary began in heaven. It must precede the second coming of Christ. In the days of Noah, that had not begun. In the days of Lot, it had not begun. In the days of destruction of Jerusalem, it had not begun. It began 1844, October 22. And it's going on now. When that work ends, there's no going back. Are you following me? Are you following me? Let the Bible tell you what I mean. Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy. If you're for God, that's it. You're against God, that's it. There's no going back. But in order for God to do that cleansing work above, he must do a cleansing work here. Because the enemy is where? Within. My biggest enemy is not Satan, and I'm not trying to take sides with him. Please, understand me clearly. But if the devil died tonight, we'll sin tomorrow. We don't sin because the devil tempts us. We sin because we choose to sin. If the devil could force you to sin, Christ would have sinned. But a life of Christ is proof. No one has to choose to sin. We sin because we choose to sin. The enemy lies within. So God in these last days need not take us out of Greenville or Ann Arbor, Michigan or New York or Las Vegas, Sin City. He needs to take Las Vegas out of us. Which is what the work of Christ in the sanctuary is all about. Why is that? Christ is interceding, forgiving our sins, cleansing us, representing us. The Father is not against us, by the way. Both Father and Son are on our side. And one person said, amen. If God feels badly, I can understand. Both Father and Son are on our side. And the people said, amen. So when you confess your sins, the sins go up. And Christ deals with them. Listen to me carefully. As long as you and I are sending up sins, Jesus has to stay where he is to deal with those sins. Are you following me? No, you're not. You are? Okay. I'm not sure if you're saying nice yes because you're so nice or you're really following. Let me take you at your word. When I confess, Father, forgive me, the sin goes up. Jesus takes care of it with his blood. His blood is his life. The blood just carries the life. The blood really means the life. We are forgiven by the life. We're healed by the life of Jesus. Are you following me? Because Jesus shed blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, but that did not pay the penalty for sin. Are you with me? I said that too quickly. Jesus shed blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he had not died yet. He died on Calvary's cross. So when you say shed blood, we mean the giving up of the life. So when I confess, Christ supplies his life. As long as I sin and I confess, Jesus has to stay where he is, taking care of sins. Now, let me beat on us a little bit more. He is not taking care of the sins of the world because they don't confess. Are you with me? They don't confess. He'd love to have them confess. That's why the Spirit moves and convicts. They generally don't confess. So the sins he is dealing with are sins of his people. In that sense, we have Jesus stuck in the most holy place. Because we have not yet allowed him to take this world out of us. He took Noah out of the world. He took Lot out of Sodom. He took the Christians out of Jerusalem. He needs to take the world out of us. When that happens, he throws off his priestly robes, takes off the mitre, puts on a crown, casts the censer into the earth, Revelation 8 verse 5, and he comes. The enemy is within. It's not Satan that caused me to gossip about my brother. He may put the thought in my mind, I have to choose. It is not Satan that tells me steal the tithe. That causes me to steal it. He may put the thought, I have to act. The enemy I say with respect is within. The devil puts the thought in my mind and I treat someone badly based on the color of his skin. God has to get the enemy out from within. Yes, if you can move to the country, do that. But don't relocate sins. Are you with me? Or are you laughing at me? Don't relocate sins. God wants to get this thing out of us so that when Jesus comes, he will come for people who finally conquered sin and who are described in the Bible, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are what? Without fault. When Noah came down a few years later, he's drunk in his tent. I'm not speaking badly about Brother Noah. I mean, he'll be in heaven. But the fact is, the Bible exposes he was drunk in his tent. This mighty man, whom the Bible describes, God himself, a righteous man. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, verse 5 says, he was a preacher of righteousness, drunk in his tent. In the last judgment, the last destruction, Christ will destroy only when the enemy from within has finally been expelled. And that enemy is not first Satan. It is self. Tonight, Jesus is telling you through His Word, I am coming back. You see, it was Christ who sent the flood. Maybe some night I'll show you the God of the Old Testament is actually the one who was born in a manger. It's essential to understand that. The person who sent the flood was Jesus. The one who appeared in the burning bush to Moses was Jesus. The one who led the Israelites through the wilderness 40 years was Jesus. The one who appeared to Joshua and he said, you know, are you with us? It was Jesus. The one who came to help Gabriel when he could not get past the king of Persia was Jesus. The one who spoke to all the Old Testament prophets was Jesus. And I've told you before, the one who said, let there be light, was Jesus. He alone, with our cooperation and invitation, can get the enemy out. That enemy is self. And so Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. What is the purpose of crucifixion? Death. You can say that verse, myself, self is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, if I am dead, and I live, and I cannot raise myself, who raised me? Jesus. And so the Bible says, you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you and I genuinely give the life to Christ, that's death. The life now we live is the life of Christ. He is that resurrection from the death of self. And as He was buried, so are we buried. And as He rose in newness of life, we rise in newness of life. And that life is the life of Christ. And as I was saying, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Genesis 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That life was the life of God. By the way, all life is from God. You see a butterfly, that life is sustained by God. I say things and I wonder if you think I need medication. All life is from God. The life of a plant is from God. What's our subject? The enemy within. Tonight, you know, there will be a lot of surprised people in the judgment. Let me say the judgment, the return of Christ. Some will be shocked when they see Him. They'll be alive when He comes. Others will come out of the grave absolutely surprised. Let not that happen to us. Let us, by the way we live, and by constant surrender, prepare for that day of destruction. When, but prior to that day, something has to be taken out of us. And that is this thing called self. This carnal nature must be conquered. And one day, the Bible tells us this corruption will put on, this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. The carnal nature is to be killed in the sense that its reign is destroyed. Are you with me? Its reign is destroyed. It no longer sits on the throne of the heart. That is death. Death to that regime. If elections are held tomorrow and someone else wins the presidential position, then Biden is no longer president. He's not dead, but his presidency is done. The presidency of sin must end. Are you with me now? That regime must come to an end. The enemy within must be expelled. And since no man can serve two masters, the only way to get that enemy out, someone tell me, is to take Jesus in. That's how we die. Take Jesus in. Tonight, you're all good people. I don't doubt that at all. I believe you all love God. And I love Him too. When we put our heads on the pillows tonight, will we sleep as people who have fully surrendered to Christ? Before that event takes place, the putting of the heads on the pillow, let's decide right where we are. Father, I recommit my life to you. I receive Christ afresh into my life. There's a saying I like. Genuine conversion is needed not once in years, but daily. Paul said, I die daily. Many years ago, someone said to me, when you bury a bad habit, keep throwing dirt on the grave. If you don't, it may come back up. Are you following me? You know, you bury someone, you throw grit. Keep throwing dirt on that grave. So it never comes back up. How many will say with me tonight, Father, by the ministry of your Son, remove the enemy from within. Can I see your right? Remove the enemy from within. I believe you. Come, stand up with me. Remove the enemy from within. You have to do that individually. Individually. Your husband may not do it. You have to do it. Your wife may not do it. You do it. Mind, Character, Personality, Volume 2, page 423, paragraph 2. The gospel deals with individuals. Every person must be converted for himself, convicted for himself. He must repent, believe, obey for himself. He must exercise his will for himself. Hebrews 1 verse 3, when he had by himself purged out sins, Christ by himself, the disciples ran and left him, the Father abandoned him for a while, the angels must have left, the Spirit must have left, he was alone, the Bible says, when he had by himself purged out sins, by yourself, ask God to take that enemy from within, that enemy self, and replace it with the fullness of Jesus Christ, because Christ is life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the way you preserved your people in the days of Noah. But he came back down with a carnal nature. You preserved Lot in the destruction of Sodom, but his descendants went off in all directions. You saved the Christians from the destruction of Jerusalem, but their descendants went off into paganism. The final destruction is coming, dear God. And our prayer to you is not to take us out of Greenville or New York or London. Take the world out of us. As your Son prayed in John 17, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. In other words, take the world out of them. Then he may say of us, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Walking on the earth, but not of the world. That's what you want in us. Please, God, convict some resisting heart right now. Let that person surrender to Christ because Christ is life. We die to Christ by dying to self. Let this be the choice of every person under the sound of my voice. As we leave this place, Father, let us leave with the consciousness of your presence with us. Let us sleep with the consciousness of our lives being placed in the hands of Jesus. If it pleases you to open our eyes tomorrow, we shall recommit our lives to your glory. Until then, watch over us. Keep us, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow, the Lord willing.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.